saw a sign up that there's a sick baby who's having an operation. Named the Munashir Basrit. So, it should be a swiss for a Fuhr Shleima. For her, the Silk Sha'ar Chol Yisrael.
Amen.
This week is an interesting, it's called Tarshish Shkalim. Shkalim. So, this is what we read. It says that Haman HaRasha took Shkalim and he wanted to buy the Jews. He actually bought them. We were sold to be killed. Spent a lot of money on us. So Chazal say that before Haman gives his shkalim, you give your shkalim. So on Rosh Chodesh Adar, Mashmiyim al shkalim. They go around, they say, all right, now it's time, everyone has to go. Give your half a shekel to the Beis HaMikdash. Give your half a shekel to the Beis HaMikdash. And this way, we'll beat Haman. Haman's going to use his shkalim. So Hikdimu Shekleim l'shkalim. And in that schus, we win. We're still here, he's not here anymore. What's this idea of his shkalim? And our shkalim? This idea of money. I like to talk about money. It says in Rashi that when God goes to Moshe and he says, tell the Jewish people to give, everybody has to give a half a shekel. There's a Rashi here, Matbea Shel Eish. He showed him, he took from the Kisei HaKavod, from the God's throne of glory, and he took a coin of fire. So here you have this coin. A coin everybody has to give to the Beis HaMikdash. Everybody has to give this half a shekel coin. And it's fire. This idea of fire. Coin of fire. Ouch. So, I'd like to answer that at the end, but I might forget, because sometimes I get carried away. So remind me. Yichia? Remind me? Great. We say in Purim that you're supposed to get so drunk if you're on the Madrega. When Yisrael Salanter used to get drunk on Purim and he was spouting all of Shas. You're related to Yisrael Salanter or David Peretz?
No.
Why are you pumping your fist? Just because that's what you do on Purim. No, you spout Shas.
It's my minhag.
Oh, it's your minhag. Yeah. Beautiful. David Peretz spouts Shas on Purim. That's his minhag. So just put a little alcohol in him. Nichnas Yayin. The wine comes in. The secret comes out that David Peretz is walking around with Shas on his fingertips. So I know people have Shas in their pockets, but that's just... You just get one of those iPods and you put Shas on. That anyone can do. Anyone can do that. In any event, but the Gemara says, Chai v'nis ab'sumi puri adalo yada bein Arahaman l'baruch Mordechai. Until you don't know between Arahaman and Baruch Mordechai. There are many different explanations to this Gemara. Many, many, many different explanations. Chayiv, you have to get drunk on Purim, l'psume, until you don't know the difference between Arahaman and Baruch Mordechai. But I'd like to discuss one of them. We know that there's two extremes. On one hand, there's Baruch Mordechai. Mordechai is the best. Mordechai is the tzaddik. On the other hand, there's Arahaman. Haman's the worst. Haman's a Russia. Haman didn't even have a name. They just used to say when he was a kid, hey man, and for the rest of his life, that was in the hey man. Nobody even remembered what his name was. So, he's the worst. I saw in the Sefer Chachmei Lev, page 973, I didn't read the first 972 pages to see it. So he says an interesting idea. He says that you're supposed to get so drunk on Purim that you're not supposed to know the difference between Adlo Yada, you're not supposed to know, not the difference, you're not supposed to know Bein Aru Haman LeBaruch Mordechai. In between, Haman is cursed and Mordechai is blessed. What does it mean, in between Haman is cursed and Mordechai is blessed? What's in between Haman is cursed and Mordechai is blessed? Average. On one hand you have the tzaddik, on the other hand you have the Rasha, You're supposed to drink, by the way, this is halacha lo lemaisa. I said, if you really want to drink on Purim, if you're such a tzaddik, then if it's really going to get you close to Hashem, and whatever the yeshiva's rules are, but I suggest that we first try to at least aspire to be on the level of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter and other great tzaddikim. David Peretz. In any event, I'm sorry for picking on you, David Peretz. David Peretz reminds me of Mashiach. Amazing name. David is Mashiach and Peretz is Parzi. Beautiful. So, you're not supposed to know the difference. There's an expression in Yiddish. Nishda here, nishda here. You're not here, you're not there. You're in the middle. It says in the pasuk, Orachayim l'mal l'maskil, l'manstur mishol mata. The Gra says, Orachayim l'mal l'maskil, if you're smart, you're going up. L'manstur mishol mata. If you're not smart, you're going down. What about the middle? What about the guys in the middle? Why are you going up or down? The answer is, that's the way the world is. It's up, like Rav Podolsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, used to say. I think his mashal was a bicycle. You're riding a bicycle up a hill, so if you're pedaling, you're going up. If you're not pedaling, you're going down. So it's interesting, somebody says to you, he's an extremist, that's a pejorative term. Extreme, nobody ever says, you never read in the other, wow, I love that guy. Such an extremist. Wow, it's so great to be a... He's great. He's an extreme. Let's be extremists. Extremist is like a bad word. It's just always, I've never heard it used in a positive context. Except, arguably, the most important rabbi in the last 100 years. The Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish, Rav Ram Yishael Korelitz, he sat in a Beis Medrash, and he learned Torah Lishma his whole life. That was the Chazon Ish. He was called Kulo Torah. He's a Baal Ruach HaKodesh. Tzaddik. So he lived in Vilna in Kosovo, Lithuania for many years. And then when he was about in his 50s, he came to Eretz Yisrael. And until then, nobody knew about him. He wasn't even officially a rabbi. One time he was in the back of the Beis Medrash in his little town in Lithuania. And somebody said to him, he thought he was a Pashat Baal Abbas. He was a simple Jew. He said to him, do you learn? So the Chazon Ish said, when I get a chance to, I learn. So the guy said, you should learn more. Chazon Ish didn't tell him he gets a chance 18 hours a day. That's what he left out. When I get a chance, 18 hours a day. That's the Chazon Ish. And then finally the rabbi of the town found out about him. His name was Rav Moshe Rosen. He found out about how great the Chazon Ish was. He got him as a chavrusa. And they learned together. And the secret of the town was that nobody knew is that the Chazon Ish was bigger than the rabbi of the town. And so the God Ladoi ended up becoming to Eretz Yisrael. And then today everybody heard of him, but at the time he was unknown. And today we have on all the starim, Kachim, Taros, Or Chaim, all everything, Nashim, whatever you want, the Chazon Ish was the expert. So here's a sefer of letters, the letters of the Chazon Ish. He writes in very beautiful poetic Hebrew. So I'd like to learn with you a letter of the Chazon Ish, which relates to Aharon Baruch Mordechai, and then we'll get back to the back to the Matbea Shel Eish, that coin of fire. Says the Chazon Ish, if you want to look it up, by the way, we have the sefer downstairs in the small classroom. It's in Chela Gimel, letter number 61, Samach Aleph. He says, Kishem she'apashtus va'emes hem shemus nirdafus, ke'a kitzonius va'gadlus shemus nirdafus. Just like simple, clear, simpleness and truth are synonymous. In other words, if something is too complicated, then it's probably not true. Chazon Ish, that was his derech halimut. Everything is clear and simple. He made everything clear and simple. It has to be. And if it's too, there's too much of this, Chazon Ish said it's not emes. So too, kitzonia, just like truth and simple clarity are synonymous, so too, extremism and greatness are synonymous. To be an extremist means to be great. Hakitzonius, he hashtalmus shel hanose. Extremism is the perfection of the subject. Hadogel b'habeinonius, if somebody aspires for mediocrity, umois b'kitzonius, and he despises extremism, so if somebody despises extremism, they're the man of the year. The Chazon Ish says, what do you say about a guy who despises extremism? By the way, we're going to define extremism. We haven't defined it yet, but we're going to get there. First, I want to read the letter. His portion is with the fakers and those who lack wisdom. In other words, if a person aspires for mediocrity, to be moderate, then his portion is with the fakers. I'm a moderate person. I'm not too extreme. I'm regular, middle of the road. What did the Kutzker say about the middle of the road? The horses in the olden days used to go in the middle of the road. That was what the Kutzker said about. The Kutzker was an extremist. Im ein kitzonius, ein shleimus. If there's no extremism, there's no perfection. Vim ein shleimus, ein aschala. And if you're not striving for perfection, you haven't even started. Regilam anu l'shmoa b'chugim yiduim, we hear in various communities, machrizim al atzma shein chalv ben kitzonim. We're not extreme. We're moderate. We're modern. We're normal. We don't go too far. And they say, we're good Jews. He says, what do I say about these Jews, the moderate ones, the modern, the normal? He says, just like if you love wisdom, you don't love a little bit of wisdom, and you don't hate a lot of wisdom. Right? If you love wisdom, you don't say, oh, it's good to have a little bit, and not too much. If you love Torah, you can't say that you love mediocrity and hate extremism. He says, all the Yud Gimel Ikarim, all the 13 principles of faith, are a contradiction, a stark contrast to the way people think about life in this world, about this whole idea of mediocrity. And then he talks of, he says that if you have clarity in the Yud Gimel Ikarim, in the 13 principles, that's Noam HaKitzonius. That's the pleasure of extremism. I'm saying, for me, this is such a revolutionary idea. It's not, because I've known it for many years, Baruch Hashem, but it's revolutionary if you've never heard it before. And every time I think about it, I think about how true it is. Anybody who says, I'm not extreme, I haven't tasted the sweetness of extremism, with that they're testifying, they're also saying they don't really believe in God. They don't, that's what they're saying. Say, I'm not an extremist. I'm normal, I'm modern, I'm moderate. You're saying, I don't believe in Torah. That's the Chazon Ish's words. Now, again, we're not talking about some guy from Mea Shearim in the Turei Karta. We're talking about one of the most prominent figures in the last 100 years. A man who, you can't pass in Shilas today in many areas of Halacha without the Chazon Ish. And he was accepted in all areas. The Hasidim, the Misnagdim, and the Kibbutzim, they used to come to him with Shilas. I mean, obviously the religious Kibbutzim would come to him with Shilas. This is the Chazon Ish talking, not Ali Erman. I'm going to say, oh, Rav Erman said. I say what the Chazon Ish says. Erman doesn't say anything. I mean, Erman says a lot, but Erman likes to quote good people. V'akitzonim le'emek navshem. And these extremists, in the depths of their souls, they don't have much respect for those who oppose them. And he says there's a deep gap between them. He continues and he says, Habenonius, Sheyeshla Schus Kium, he meet us Habenim Oibim Sakitsonius, Vishofim Elea, Vichol Masis Navsham. Who are the good Benonium? Who are the good mediocre people? The people who love Kitsonius. In other words, it could be that you're the middle, it could be you're moderate. But the only way you're going to continue existing is if you strive to be an extremist. Again, I haven't defined it yet. We'll get there. And you educate your kids to be extremists. If you educate your kids, you see it in a lot of our communities, that kids go one way or the other. They're brought up to be in the middle, they flip out one way, or they the other way. Why? Because people don't like Benonis. Aval ma'aluma Benonis ha'so'enes boz la'kitzonis. He says, how terrible is it, even if you're going to be a Benoni, you're going to be mediocre, but you hate extremism, that's terrible. He said, we must educate ourselves, our children, to be extremists. And he says, and if you have a middle-of-the-road school, you're not going to be successful, because it's counterfeit. It's a ziyuf. The leiv maskil holech hamazniach ziyuf. When somebody sees that something isn't honest, they can't take it. Somebody who really wants the truth, and they see that something is not truthful, they despise it. So when someone gets educated that to be the middle of the road, he can't take it. So what does this mean? So he continues, concludes, Hachino shel hanosein es hatzedek lachanich lifnos oref lachukim amu shlachim alav shelo lirtzono ulamunos hameikos libo neged zer machayim besod hakitzion es gozlim imenu v'zolobo gam horav humorav. He says this chinuch basically messes up the kid and steals him of the greatness of Kitzonius. So what does this mean? What does it mean? Adlo yada, you can't know. Bein oham lebrocha, you can't be in the middle. Let me give you an example. An example from life. Let's say, I've done research actually on this topic. Not research, real research, but my own unacademic research. And I've come to the conclusion that man was not created for one woman. Man by nature is polygamous. That's my own personal notion. That's what I think. And somebody gets married. So his friend comes up to him and says, listen, Ehrman thinks, I mean other people think this also, it's not my idea, that man by nature is polygamous. And the Torah even permits it. The Torah permits you to have more than one wife. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Why are you so extreme that you're only going to have one? So today, you're now allowed, according to law, you're now allowed to marry one woman. You're now allowed to marry more than one woman. Right? But in theory, you're not allowed to marry more than one, but there's no, I don't think it's against the law to have an affair. So why are you going to be so extreme and stick with one lady your whole life? Isn't that extreme? So much, so what does the Torah say? The Torah says that the second you get married, you're now allowed to look at another woman for the rest of your life. Not look, you know, to pay for your bag of milk or your carton of milk, depending on which continent you live. But to look at a woman in any way for pleasure, once you get married, you never look at another woman again. You never get any pleasure from another woman. You never have a deep relationship with another woman. The only relationship you have is with your wife. You walk down the street, your head down. Isn't that extreme? But the Torah doesn't budge even one millimeter. Of course. And everybody understands that. And if somebody is like that, his wife appreciates it. She's not going to say, oh, I hate my husband. He's such an extremist. He doesn't look at other women. Nobody would say that. Another example. This is, killing is wrong, right? Why be an extremist and never kill? And never kill. Let's say you're in business and you have a competitor and he's, you know, taking away a lot of your business. So you're going to be such an extremist. You're never, ever going to kill? One time, you know, you gotta do everything in life once. So isn't it extreme? He never killed? He never once cheated on his taxes? Tax evasion? He never laundered money? I laundered loads of money in my life. When I was a kid, I put my pants in the hamper, leave the old $5 bill in there. I'd get back a nice, clean, crispy $5 bill. So that was my own money laundering. Yeah. He's never going to launder money. Never. Once. Is never. Isn't that extreme? Listen, if my best friend in the world, Sam Gelnick, is smiling, then it was, I don't even know what was said, but it was worth it, whatever joke was made. So, sweetest friends, when you think of it in those terms, it begins to make more sense. Extremism. Now let's give an example from halacha. In halacha it says that if somebody puts a gun to your head and says, either bow down to this idol, or I'll shoot you in the brain, or as they used to say in the movies, I'll make your brains into brain soup. What do you order? Excuse me? What do you order? Brain soup. I'll have some brain soup, please. Isn't that extreme? So bow down to the stupid idol. Say, kura, bura, shmura, wura, night, 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 night. Do whatever you want. Put on a nachlach yamaka. Wear a little thing in the back of your head. I don't do whatever crazy things you want. I'm not, by the way, that was not to imply that nachnach is avodah zarah. That was not at all my intention. I was just saying, that would be extreme. I was just saying, I don't agree with all the nachnach stuff, but avodah zarah, I definitely wouldn't go so far as to say that. Isn't it extreme to die? Saying the guy's got a wife. He has, like my good friend, 17 children. I have a friend with 17 children. And, Ken Yerbu. Chaim gives him a bracha, Ken Yerbu. Let's ask his wife first how she feels. Another example. My friend with 17. So, we'll get this. the guy has to die. Isn't it extreme? One guy bowed down to the idol. The answer is yes, it's extreme. It's extreme to die. And the Torah is extreme. This friend of mine who I mentioned, just off the cuff, see, he's an only child. He's an only child. His father was a Holocaust survivor. One kid, and then he just had one after the next, after the next, after the next. So I said to him one time, what did your father think? What did your father think about? He had one kid. His father died when he was at 11, 12. He didn't even know about 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. And I haven't spoken to him in a few months, by the way. So statistically, he's already had two since I last spoke. So what does your father think? Do you know what he said? He said he thinks it's too many. So I said, what do you say to your father? Like, which one don't you like? You don't like Shimi, you don't like Ruchi. I'm saying, which one should we return? He said, that's what I tell my father. And think about it. Oh, those Haredim. They're so extreme. They have all those children. I'm saying, like, what? So what should we do? Like, you know, okay, you have too many. You have nine, so let's kill four of them. You know, five is a nice number. Every life. We believe in life. That's extreme. Extreme is you want as many kids as possible. That's extreme. And the side of Ra is also extreme. What did the other side say? They said, let's wipe out all the Jews. That was Haman. That was Mitzrayim. That was Adetzim Hayom Hazeh. That's also extreme. So how do you fight? You have two teams. One team is playing with all their cock, and the other team, they don't care if they win or lose. Okay, that's the way to play. The world's everyone's extreme. By the way, everyone's extreme. It depends what you're extreme about. Some people are extreme. They never miss a Super Bowl. They're very extreme. They never miss a Thanksgiving dinner. So it's a type of extremism. What do you call somebody who likes a sports team? A fan. What is that short for? A fanatic. Fanatic? Isn't fanatic a bad word? Isn't that a pejorative term? A fanatic? But it's not used that way. Why? Because it's okay. It's the saints. How do you say saints in Hebrew? Tzaddikim. You're rooting for the tzaddikim. Go saints. It's extremism. A tzaddik is an extremist. Going all the way. That's a tzaddik. So when you talk about extremism, at first it doesn't sound so good. But then when you think about it, of course I'm going to be extremist. You know, I'm not going to be so nice to my friends. Sometimes I'll curse at them, and sometimes I'll be nice. What does an extremist say? I'm nice to everybody I meet. An extremist says, I love the whole world. I love everybody I meet. It's all God's creation. Isn't that extreme? To love everybody? Some people you should love. Some people you should like. Some people you should dislike. Some people you should hate. Some people you should treat nicely. Some people you should mistreat. Isn't that the middle of the road? Or how about Hilchos Shabbos? How many Malachos of Shabbos are there? 39. How about this? You keep 25 and you don't keep 14. How does that sound? You have a robe, so you keep 20. Isn't that silly? So somebody says to you, but it's extreme. You keep Shabbos with all of its laws? What's the obvious answer? And the answer, sweetest friends, is that the Torah is one big, a lot of letters, a few hundred thousand letters in the Torah. If it's missing one letter, the entire Torah is puzzled. The entire Torah. It's missing one little letter. It says the name of some Goyisha king. At the end of Parshas Vayishlach, who cares what the Goyisha kings? Can anybody name me the eight kings mentioned at the end of Parshas Vayishlach? Only a Baal Korei could do that. Yes? So who cares? One little letter, the whole thing is puzzle. Why? Because the Torah is extreme. Either you have it, you accept it, or you don't accept it. And that's the decision you make. There's a Meiri in Baba Kama who says that if a person picks and chooses what he keeps and what he doesn't keep, then even the mitzvahs that he keeps, he doesn't get reward as if he was commanded. Because in his mind, he's not commanded. He decides what I keep, what I don't keep. What's an extremist? An extremist is I have God, and I'm going to follow God. I'm going to follow God to the death. I remember this Rosh Hashanah, Mori Barabi Shlita told me, a good Lubavitcher, told me, told all the Hasidim, I should be Zohar to be a Hasid, but I wear a hat like one. In any event, all year long is perm. I dress up like a chassid. So he told the story about the Lubavitcher Rebbe. One year was Rosh Hashanah, and he went to do Tashlich. The only problem is it was pouring rain. Pouring rain! So the Rebbe wasn't one to be swayed by rain. So he walks out. You know, if you ever watch the Rebbe videos they have in the shul over there outside, the opposite Ramban, so they always have Lubavitcher Rebbe videos. So whenever you watch him walking, he always walks with zrizus. No matter how old he was, so he's walking with alacrity. So the Rebbe starts walking towards Tashlich. The only problem was, it was about an hour away, by foot. And Rosh Hashanah, they don't take cars. So he starts to walk, and it's pouring rain! Like only it does. And they don't have rain like this. We should be zochet have rain like this in Israel. But in America they have a, and they're some of the, thank you. And some of the Hasidim stayed back. They're going to get wet. And some of the really crazy Hasidim, the Meshuganas, they followed the Rebbe. They don't know any Chachmas. The Rebbe's going to Tashlich, we're going to Tashlich. So the Rebbe's walking. They get to the pond. The only problem was it was a rainy day. So who goes out to a pond on a rainy day? Nobody. So what did the guy who was in charge there do? He locked the gate. So there they are. The rain is pouring. They just walked an hour and it's locked. So what do you think the Lubavitcher Rebbe did? He climbed the fence. Of course. So he starts climbing. And what do these crazy Hasidim do? They also start climbing. So they climb. They go. They do their tashlich. They throw it in. There's an old story of Hasidim. Didn't happen in this story, but it's a funny story. That the Rebbe threw the bread in the water in the pond. And then the Hasidim jumped in to get the bread. And then they said, what are you guys doing? So they said that the Rebbe's Averis are our mitzvahs. You know, when they throw the bread in the pond, it's Averis. The Rebbe's Averis are at such a high level for us, it's mitzvahs. And anyway, the Rebbe goes back, climbs back over the wall, and he walks home. That night, it was the second night of Rosh Hashanah, and they had a farbrengen. So the Rebbe, the farbrengen is when all the Hasidim get together, and they eat, and primarily they drink, and there's a lot of merriment, a lot of singing, a lot of Divrei Torah. And the Rebbe said, anybody who went with me to Tashlich gets a special l'chaim with a bracha for Yeshuas, that you should be saved in any area you need it. And the guy started lining up, and the Rebbe looked at him, he goes, no, your clothing is too dry. No, you didn't go. He goes, oh, to you. And then he gave to all the people who actually came. Why? Because those were the guys who showed. They were the extremists. There's a minute to do Tashlich on Rosh Hashanah, so they went to do Tashlich on Rosh Hashanah. That's extreme, isn't it? But they did it. And obviously, it goes without saying that the end of the story was that those Hasidim who got that special l'chaim from the Rebbe actually had Yeshuas that year. That's always, the Hasidic stories usually have a happy ending. But this is a well-documented story. And whenever I hear a story from the Rebbe checks out his sources always, so if he told it, it's true. In any event, that's the idea of craziness. That's the extremism. When is extremism negative? When is extremism negative? Extremism isn't always good. Extremism negative when you look down at other people. When you walk around and you're such an extremist, anybody who's not doing it my way is doing it the wrong way. And you speak against other people, or you throw stones at people. That's extremism that we don't like. We're not into the arrogance. We're not into looking down. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was appointed to lead the Jewish people, to lead them out of Egypt, what was Moshe Rabbeinu's answer? He said, appoint, according to the Ramban, anybody in the world would be better for the job than me. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu looked at every person and he saw in some way this person is better than me. So extremism is not vis-a-vis other people, that you look down at other people. Extremism is vis-a-vis yourself, that you're an extremist. You never miss a shachris. Isn't that extreme? You never miss, let's say you daven 5 out of 7 shachris a week. That'd be pretty good. Let's say every time you got up to bat in the major leagues, you got 5 out of 7 times you got a hit. How much would you be paid a year? At least $275 million a year. At least. Right? Why? 5 out of 7. So why not 5 out of 7? What's the answer? The answer is that we're extreme. We daven all 7 days. What about a chayal goes to the army? Isn't that extreme to die for a country, a piece of land? Isn't that extreme? Of course it's extreme. Anybody who's a soldier is extreme. Because he's putting his life on the line. There's nothing more extreme than your life. I've never heard anybody say anything bad about a soldier. We all respect soldiers. We give them derech eretz. We give them a lot of kavod. Ooh, he's a soldier. Some people aspire to be soldiers themselves. Wow, and he carries a gun. He was in Lebanon, and Rafool gets up, and he tells his war stories. Guys, their mouths are wide. Wow. How can we get him in and with Ehrman out? I'm saying he's the one with the weapons. He should be in. Ehrman should. So what's the answer? Yeah, we respect him. Of course it's extreme. That's exactly the point. What, that's how you become great. And the chayal who's most extreme is the greatest chayal. And the gymnast. You know those little girls, you know, those 4'7" girls who from the age of 2 and a half wake up every morning at 2:30 a.m. and they do their exercises and they jump around and everything. And then by the time they're 12 and a half years old, they just had their bat mitzvah a few months before. They don't have any friends. They've never been to school before. They did everything at home on a computer because they had to practice their gymnastics for 14 and a half hours a day. They finally made it. They're in. Where did they have the Olympics last time?
Beijing.
Beijing. They're in Beijing. She can't spell Beijing. She doesn't know where Beijing is, but she knows gymnastics. So they get her on the airplane, and they get this little girl, and she wows the whole world. She's jumping, and she's flipping, and she's flying. Isn't that extreme? She practiced so much for the Olympics. And yet, we place her on a pedestal. We say, wow. She won. Look at how much she trained. She won the gold medal. Then you see the athletes. You see them pumping iron all summer for 6 months, 8 months during the off season to stay in shape. That's also extreme. Is there anybody who's a professional athlete that didn't get that way because he was extreme? He said, no, you know, it's only a game. I'll play a little bit. I'll eat some hamburgers. I'll chill out. You know, nobody becomes a professional. Nobody becomes successful. Anybody who's rich? Anybody who's... I've never met a really rich person who wasn't extreme about money. They love their money! That's why I'm not rich. I have two reasons I'm not rich, but that's one of them. The other one is that God doesn't want me to be rich. But the other reason is that I have no cheshek to get out of bed in the morning if somebody tells me, oh, you can work hard today and make a lot of money. It just doesn't appeal to me. So I don't do it. I'm going to get out of bed. But I don't mind after... how do people get rich? Because they're excited at the beginning of the day. They think, wow, I can get a lot of money! So they get out of bed, and they work, and they work, and they work, and they work, and they come home and they go for more the next day. It's also extreme. So you just decide, in what area am I going to be extreme? So, in Judaism, we decide we're extreme for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now that we told the story of Lubavitcher Rebbe, we get to a little Ketta in Tanya. The book of Tanya was written by Rabbi Schneur Zalman Miliadi. He was the first Lubavitcher Rebbe. And this book talks about how to serve God. That's why I like the book, because I want to know how to serve God. It's a very extreme book, by the way. Very extreme. You ready? It's very close to you to keep the Torah. You have the opportunity at any moment to remove the spirit of silliness and forgetfulness from within you. And to remember, I'm just doing a running translation, remember and awaken the love for God that's hidden in every Jew's heart without any doubt. And that's what it means, that it's in your heart. And that is included in that is also fear that a person can be on a level where he never is detached from God. And even with Mesiras Nefesh, that a person's living his life, you read about tzaddikim like this, that every moment of their lives, every moment people saw them, the way every bracha they made was mamish, they were giving their souls over completely to God. And they're literally willing to die. We've had people willing, isn't that extreme? How come nobody ever says anything bad about Holocaust victims? Wasn't that extreme that they died just because they were Jewish? Or Spanish Inquisition? They could have converted. In the Holocaust, they didn't give you a chance to convert. The answer is we respect that. Wow! You're an idealist! You were happy to die for God! Isn't that religion is more important than life? Yeah! That you see a person who's willing to break. You have a tithe, you're walking down the street, you want to look? You don't look. You break the tithe. Extreme. Just look, what's the big deal? What's the answer? That's not what a Jew is. A Jew doesn't look, because to look means you're not holy, and to contain yourself, to control yourself, means you are holy. And he continues, you can conquer your Yetzer with Sur Meira, avoiding evil, and also Asay Tov, Lizgaber Karibik Vura of Omatale. What's the first thing? The first thing a person does in the morning. Everybody knows. In my own personal Shulchan Aruch. What does it say? You roar. The first thing Tzvi Moshe says you do when you get up in the morning is you roar. Roar! Why? Because it says in the Shulchan Aruch, you have to get up like a lion. A lion is an extreme animal. It's so extreme that when a lion doesn't have breakfast and he sees a nice, plump-looking human being opposite him, that plump-looking human being will be breakfast. That's pretty extreme. So you wake up in the morning, and you're a lion. Roar! And then you say, Mo Da'ani, and you get up and you start dancing. Why do you dance? Because you're alive. You're alive. Was that you? Eitan. You're alive. Now isn't that extreme? You're talking about God already first thing in the morning, and you say, God, I'm alive. Do you know that a few thousand people woke up this morning and they're dead right now? I'm serious. I'm not saying it's a joke. Every day, a few thousand people in the world die. So I woke up this morning again! I have a streak, by the way. Baruch Hashem. I have a... There was once a comedian, he said, I want to live forever. So far, so good. Right, so me too. Baruch Hashem, I have a streak. I've woken up every morning of my life. And sometimes I slept late. But I'm saying eventually I got out of bed. So you start dancing. I'm born to something. You gave me life. Every minute you're giving me life. Every minute you're giving me my eyes. You're giving me hearing. God, I'd do anything for you. What would you do for somebody who every time he saw you gave you $500? Wouldn't you be extreme in the amount of gratitude you would have to that person? What? So God, every second, gives me two things that I can't live without. You know what they're called? Kidneys. Kidneys! If my customer person's kidney doesn't work, they're finished! They're finished! Start playing the funeral music. Yes, what is funeral music? I don't know. What? The same song they play for Darth Vader. So that's what a person does. So concludes the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Alter Rebbe. He says that that's what it means. A person can have such mesiris, he's such an extremist. He goes after God. Sur Meira, something is usur. It's mamish, he can't do it. He'd rather die. There's a story in MTA many years ago. There was once a boy. He was by the water fountain. And he was washing the Til Sidayim, but they didn't have a cup. So he like pressed twice. You know, with one hand, he pressed twice. On the other hand, and Rav Yitzchak Cohen was here a little while ago. He ran up to the boy, and he said to him, I'd rather starve. I'd rather starve. He said, you're not going to do the Til Sidayim with the coats. If you're not going to do it, and I'm not making fun of him, I hold him to be one of the tzaddikim of this door. I'd rather starve. The Kloisenberger Rebbe, when he was in the death camps, he never once ate unkosher food. Never once. One time he felt himself, you read that? One time he felt himself slipping. He said, Rabbanu Shalom, it's pikuach nefesh. It's pikuach nefesh. I haven't had it till now. I'm about to break. Please help me. And he got through it somehow, and he went on. He never ate without netilas yadayim. One time he found there was a little bit of water dripping, so he waited 2 hours until he had a shear, and then he washed netilas yadayim and he ate. You think the Kloisenberger Rebbe, Rabbi Kusil Yehuda Albrechtstam, who was such a tremendous genius and master of Torah that I don't even have words to describe, do you think he couldn't have thought of a heter for himself to eat when he was starving to death without netilas yadayim? You do the old put the napkin trick, you know, you get a napkin, you put it on the bread, everything is cool. He didn't even do it without the napkin. He could have found 1,000 reasons to eat. But he was extreme. And you know what happens to extreme people? I'll tell you what happens. They get Ruach HaKodesh. And they get very, very close to God. And they get supernatural powers. Why? Because they give themselves so completely over to God. So God says, oh, you're mine. So you get my powers. That's the power of Kitzonis. But this thing of not here, not there. What did Eliyahu Navi say? Har Carmel. They had a showdown between the Nevi'ah and Baal. They had 450 Nevi'ah and Baal and Eliyahu Navi. So Eliyahu Navi gets up and he says to the Jewish people, if God is God, go after God. And if the Baal is God, if the idol is God, go after the idol. Why did he say that? What should he have said? If God is God, go after God. And if God isn't God, then go after a little bit the idol and a little bit God. For example, let's say what I would say. If you're going to go to shul, then go to shul on Shabbos. And if you want to go to church on Sunday, then at least go to shul on Shabbos. And then you go to shul on Shabbos and church on Sunday. That's not what he said. He said it's either the shul or the church. It's either God or the Baal. Why was Eliyahu Navi saying that? He was saying the most basic fundamental thing that every human being has to know. And that is you have to choose. You have to make a choice in life. And if you choose the God and Baal, then you're not choosing. The moment you make that choice, then you have to go all the way with the choice. So you guys choose a wife? That's my wife. There's no other woman in the world. Nobody else exists. Like Adam and Chav and Gan Eden, we bless the Chasen and Kal. Nobody else exists. You choose. You're going to keep halacha. You go with it. But what's the middle? What's the middle? Does a person think he's going to get up to Shemayim? And God's going to say, yeah. You know, the whole thing about kosher, I only meant when you're in your house. I didn't really mean when you go out. That wasn't. And the whole thing about Shabbos, do you think that I read every little sif katan in the Mishnah Berurah? You're going to keep all the little minor details. It's Borer, it's Sochet, it's this, it's that. I don't even know what half of these things mean, he'll tell you. Yeah, just as long as you did it in general, you know, general idea. And when it comes to Lashon Hara, what, you think I expected you never to speak Lashon Hara? It's okay, if the guy really annoyed you, and you get a good laugh, it's extreme never to speak Lashon Hara. So, sweetest friends, I think my point is taken. So now we get back to we understand that it means, get to the point, there's no in-between. You're on Haman's team, or you're on Mordechai's team. There's an old expression that you have to take sides. Why? Is Aaron Moshe here? The expression goes, don't be like the Swiss. Where the Swiss, they're always neutral. Swiss doesn't like to get involved in war. By the way, they have a very high suicide rate in Switzerland, and they have very few winners of any Nobel Prizes or anything. They're not so creative. You know why? Because they don't get involved in war. Everything in Switzerland is nice. Everybody speaks 85 languages. You know, everything is pretty. Everything is calm. Everything is relaxed. There's no extremism there. I mean, I don't know. We're working on our emotion. But you see what I'm saying? To be neutral. It's a war. There's no neutrality in war. Life is a war. So, now we get back to our Matbea Shel Eish. What is a fire? What's fire? Fire gets on the shtender, and what does the shtender become? Fire. Fire hits the table, what does the table become? Fire. It's just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him a Matbea Shel Eish, a coin of fire. And Chazal say, when we give these coins, this value, it beats Haman. Why? Because Haman put a value to the Jewish people. He said, I'm going to buy you guys. So what do? We take a different value. We take the value of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like we say on Shabbos. Ein aruch lecha Hashem Elokeinu b'olam hazeh. There's no value like you, God. Which means that everything in your world becomes fire. That matbea shel eish, that coin of fire that we're giving, money is value. It means that for us, the value is a God. Everything in the world becomes God. You eat God, you talk God, you sleep God, you vacation God, you're with God wherever you go. That's the goal. And then matbea is the value. There's no value like God. Ein aruch lecha Hashem Elokeinu. And Haman, that beats Haman. Because Haman put a value to the Jewish people, and the only way to beat him is the Kitzonius. Then we say, I'm going to take the Eish. The Kutzker Rebbe said it's a coin of fire, because you're giving it with fire. And I'm going to give it with fire. I'm going to scream. If somebody screams on the Ilan Yom Kippur, Shema Hashem Hu Elokim, people think he's normal. But if somebody screams in the middle of Tachlan Hashem Hu Elokim, they think he's abnormal. I just had a dream just today. Just today I had a dream. I woke up in the middle, it ruined my sleep. I woke up. So I was. They threw me out of shul. They threw me out of shul. They said, what are you getting so excited about? This is not a place for emotion. You say the text, but you don't get too excited. So they chucked me out. And I went back to sleep. And then I dreamed that I owned a very expensive house with a large plot of land. And on a whim, I just sold it. And I bought something really, really cheap. And then I woke up again. It was a bad day for me today. It was, maybe I shouldn't be napping. Maybe that's my problem. In any event, you know, people don't get excited. Don't get excited. Relax. Be cool. I'm not saying that a person shouldn't work. When you work, you're extreme. Of course you're extreme. You never cheat. You're nice to all your coworkers. You know, you work hard. You do the job well. That's also extreme. It's extreme. And you go to shul, and you're extreme about your learning. You don't miss your learning. It's also extreme. And you're extreme that you'll never hurt another person. You'll never in your life hurt another person. Isn't that extreme? I think that's the most beautiful thing in the world. And that's what Chazon Ish says. He says, Kitzonius is Shlemus. To be extreme means you go all out. You go all out. You wake up in the morning. You wake up tomorrow morning, the first thing. And you say, I remember what Erman said last night. Today, from today, I become an extremist. Every person I see, I smile and I say good morning. Have you ever met anybody like that? I haven't. Wouldn't it be nice, though? Wouldn't it be nice if every person you met was friendly? That'd be a nice world. Every person you met, you just imagine a world where you can just open up your store at the beginning of the day, a big box of money, and everybody just comes and takes what they need and puts in the money. Why do you have people behind the counter? Because people aren't extreme. They would steal. To be extreme means they wouldn't steal, no matter what, even if the money was right in front of them. So that's the world we live in. So everybody in this room, B'siyata D'shmaya, is trying to fix the world. And we do that by really knowing. When we know what's right, when we have a value, you go with it all the way. And you go do it in a nice way. You do it with a smile. And you don't look down at anybody else. And you're not... You're normal in the sense that you're not... You're doing it in the way that you're supposed to be doing it. You're not taking it too far. You're doing it the way the Torah says to do it. Which means that sometimes you have to go learn. But if your mother needs help, you go help your mother. That's also extreme. My mother asked me. Your mother's also extreme, by the way. She carried you around for 9 months. And then she gave birth to you. That's pretty extreme. To schlep somebody around for 9 months? Would you want to schlep anything around for 9 months? The answer is that's how you came into the world. And that was what Avraham Avinu was. And that was Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's how we're here today. So I want to give everybody a bracha mitzvah. We should be zocha this Purim, this Shabbos Shkalim. This is the skula that a kriya moreres is man. That we should take all what we learned and realize the value of going far, of making everything fire, everything the fire of Torah, everything the fire of Kedusha. And that schus will be zocha to have a Purim filled with simcha. Two. Three.
Me llevo a Pablo, a Pablo, a Pablo, a Pablo, a Pablo.